It is good to see you this morning. You know, on one hand, it's just a tad discouraging, as Brother Chris said. I don't think I've ever seen it so low in our services, but people are playing it safe, and we're praying for them, and I know they value God's house, and they'll miss it, and they'll be back as soon as they can. This is a pretty important place for the child of God. We sometimes take it for granted. I was looking for my words there. And I certainly have been known to do that from time to time. And this is a good place for us to come to gather together and get into the Word of God, which is the most surest, most grounded thing that we could possibly get into. Amen?
Amen.
I want to thank you for being here. And I know a few people listen to the MP3 that's on the website. So this week sometime, if you're listening, we miss you. We want to see you back as soon as possible. This is a great opportunity every Sunday morning for me. You know, I'm just like you. At times we get a little weary, and sometimes we find ourselves making ourselves do things. But let me tell you, the reason I have... And those of you who have done this and do this, you know what I'm about to say. But sometimes you get into the Word of God because of maybe an obligation. And so sometimes I've got into the Word of God because I had to put something together or what have you. But in the process now, God's Spirit speak to me so in depth through His Word, that it just touches my heart, blesses my soul. And so I have that great opportunity to do this. And as I've mentioned to you a few times, two of my favorite individuals to get into their life in the Word of God, Samuel and Joseph. And we are in Joseph's life this morning in Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. In our Christian life, we've all known individuals who seemed so strong in the Lord. Look back in your mind's history, in your contacts that you've known of Christians. I'm sure you could put a list together of some that you have known that have been so spiritually grounded, so firm in the Word of God. Valerie and I, we get to talk to an older gentleman. Many more than two or three times. We see him two or three times a year, but on the phone quite often. And this individual is such an encouragement to us because his mind is in the Word of God. And he has a way of bringing all of our life events and things that happen to us, focus those life events into the Word of God. And you've known these kinds of people. Their faith is maybe a quiet one, but it's ever so steady. Their concern is for what God thinks and not what man thinks. And their attitude is a positive attitude because they know God's in control. He's a God who has sovereignty. He is a sovereign God. And because of that attitude, they're encouraging because they know that God is something that we can place our faith and trust in, because He's a sovereign God and He is in control. I believe Joseph was such a man. I believe Joseph. You know, he was betrayed by his brothers, left to die in a pit, and soon thereafter pulled out of that pit and sold to the Ishmaelites. And then later the Ishmaelites sell him to Potiphar. And in Potiphar's house, he quickly rises up to be over the whole household. And Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of trying to get at her, and so he was placed in prison, and yet we never see him complaining. We always see him in an attitude of God's in control, and that's tough to have. But wow, what a great faith in God Joseph has. What a great faith in the Lord. And we saw last week in chapter 39 how God put His favor and His blessing upon Joseph because of that. No less than five different verses in chapter 39. God was with Joseph. Joseph had the presence of God. Joseph was well favored by God. Joseph's employer, Potiphar, saw that God was with Joseph. And then God even started blessing Potiphar's house because of Joseph. And it just goes on and on and on. And it's just such an encouraging thing to see Joseph and his faithfulness to the Lord. So he's in prison in chapter 40. And verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward." So they're all three in prison here, and Joseph is in charge. He's quickly risen to the top, just as he did in Potiphar's house. And verse 5 says, "And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison." Now back then, dreams were considered as a kind of a prophetical thing. This is what was going to happen. But they didn't know exactly how to interpret the dreams. And I didn't know this fact till I was reading this week. But this dream interpretation became a field of employment. I mean, they were trained on how to actually interpret dreams. And one commentator said that there was like a 500-page manual that guys could go to school and learn how to interpret dreams, Stacy. And it was all a farce, all such fake. And so they live in a time where dreams are very, very important. And these two guys dream these dreams, the butler and the baker. They don't know what they mean. And verse 6 says, "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore unto thee thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. So basically Joseph says, look, in 3 days you're going to be back in your spot. Pharaoh's going to take you back and everything's going to be okay. You're going to get out of prison and he's going to forgive whatever happened and you'll be okay. But he says in verse 14, But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. And make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So Joseph interpreted the dream and says, listen, this is going to happen. In 3 days, this is going to happen. You'll be back in your place. But when you get there, remember that I helped you out here. I interpreted your dream, and I need you to help me out, to help me get out of this prison, out of this dungeon. Verse 16 says, When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh, now watch this, lift up thy head from off thee. Now, I'm not very smart, but that don't sound good, does it? When you separate the head from the body, then we have a problem. Within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But indeed he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. So here Joseph is in this prison, and God is with him, and God has given him the ability to interpret these dreams. And even though so much has happened to him, God has given him favor. He so favored Joseph that he has this ability, and he so favored Joseph that he gave them the interpretation of the dream. And Joseph is one of God's men, and he's able to do this. And I'm thinking, how was Joseph to do this? Well, what did Joseph say, and how did Joseph act as a result of being well-favored and well-blessed by God? So I look at the story, and I see where Joseph has been. He's been betrayed by his brothers. He's not in a, you know, he's had every reason to complain, but he's not complained. And he's been betrayed by his brothers, and he's been sold twice. He's been falsely accused by this woman. Now he's in prison, and he does a good thing for the butler. It turned out to be a bad, you know, thing for the baker, but Joseph didn't do it. He was just interpreting it. And all he asked is that this butler remember him, and the Bible says he does not. This guy just cannot catch a break. Joseph just cannot catch a break in his life. I mean, he quickly rises above it, but he always seems to get thrown into these situations. Yet, here's what I noticed. He does not complain all the way through it. He did state the fact of what's happened in verse 15. He says, indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and I hear also, have I done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon? He's stating a fact, but he does not sit there and complain about it. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we complain, don't we? I do. Sometimes I just put myself to shame when I think back and see how I've complained. Because we do that. It's hard for us to be like Joseph and always think that God's in control, isn't it? I look out here, and there's not many here, but I see that some of you guys have really been through the grinder. You have had some tough times in your life. You've gone through some just really, really hard times. And during those times, I know it had to be hard for you to trust in the sovereignty of God. You know what that means? It means God's in control. And when you're experiencing what you guys have experienced, sometimes it's hard to remember that. And here, Joseph, in spite of being betrayed by his brothers and thrown in a pit and left to die, and, you know, we've said it several times what's happened, he hasn't complained to God. It's so easy because it's our human nature to complain and not be satisfied where God has put us, but Joseph doesn't do that. You reckon that's could be why, a little reason why God gave him favor and God lent him his presence and his power and his ability? Because Joseph had a mind to trust the Lord. Now, another thing he did, in spite of him going through this situation, he's in prison and all that's happened to him, another thing that he did, he cared for these two men. You know, he was their boss in prison. He had been given their charge. Let me go back to that verse to read it exactly. But he says in verse 7, wherefore look ye so sadly today? He showed concern. Now, I've never been in prison, but I would imagine if you've got somebody in charge in prison, you know, it's a rough place anyway, I'm sure. But if you've got somebody in charge, they don't have to show compassion. They don't have to show concern. They don't have to do anything but make sure everybody's minded. Joseph says, "Why are you so sad?" You reckon that's just another little reason why God's favor was with him. There's no shortage of verses in the Bible that tells me that I should be concerned with you. There's no shortage of verses in God's Word that tells us that we should be concerned with each other. Can I read two of them to you? Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." That tells me that I should have a genuine, heartfelt concern and share your joy. I mean, put your mind at ease. If you win $10 million, I want to share your joy. But if you're weeping, I, as a child of God, should share in your weeping. Philippians 2:4, Paul says to the church at Philippi, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." It's so easy to get busy, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to get so wrapped up in things. And I know in Valerie and my case, we're busy with our jobs. And some weeks, it's just so crazy. And it's so easy. You know, I thought this week with all these COVID cases, I made an attempt to, as I was between things, you know, to reach out to people. And then at the end of the day, I'd say, "Oh, I haven't talked to this one. I haven't talked to this one. I haven't talked to this one. I haven't texted this one." And it's just so easy to forget to do what's important and reach out to people and show concern to them. That's what Joseph did here. And not only just did Joseph just reach out to him, but as he reached out to him, he directed others, he directed them to God. God is the interpreter of dreams. That's what he told them in so many words. "Hey, let's see what God has to say about this thing." And Joseph was that way. We saw in the last chapter where he says, as this woman is trying to accost him, he says, "There's none greater in this house than I," meaning that this woman's husband had promoted him to the very top position in that household. And he says, "Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He turned his own trial, his own plight, into something. He directed her attention to God, not even to her husband. How, you know, Joseph could have said, "Hey, how can I sin against your husband? How can I sin against my friend Potiphar, who's raised me and promoted me and given me?" No, he doesn't do that. "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God, lady?" Joseph was so intent and concerned with what God thought. Now let's think back to ourselves. How much do we do that in our own life? Joseph had the ability, he had the desire to direct others to God in their time of trial. We're going to see it in the next many chapters, all the way to chapter 49. We're going to see Joseph's attitude toward God. In the next chapter, in the next week or two, we'll be in chapter 41. And he says, "God shall give an answer." Pharaoh has a dream too, as you know the story. Pharaoh has a dream, and he says, "God shall give Pharaoh an answer." Because he knew God needed to be in the mind of Pharaoh. He knew that God was the only person that could help Pharaoh interpret that dream. And when Joseph had his two boys, listen to their names. One of them, his firstborn was Manasseh. You know what it means? "For God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." Manasseh, that's what it means. He named his son with the idea that God had given him what he had. The name of his second son was Ephraim. And that means, "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." He's not forgetting God. He's directing the attention all to God. And we're going to see in chapter 45 where he says, he made me to be a father to Pharaoh. To who? To Pharaoh, the top guy in the whole land of Egypt. He says, I'm a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house. And God's done that. He directs others to the Lord. So not only does he not complain, and not only does he show concern to others, but he also directs others to the Lord. He directs their attention. He doesn't just throw his arm around them and hug them and say, it'll be okay. You know, we all have to go through this and you'll get through it. No, no, no. He uses this as an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. You reckon maybe that was another reason that God's presence was with him, that God favored him. Now, another thing he did, he was faithful to proclaim the message of God. He didn't just direct their attention to God, but he was faithful to proclaim the message of God, whether it was bad or good. Now, the butler got a good message, didn't he? Your problems are over in 3 days. Not so much with the baker. That was a tough one to give. He had to tell the baker, he says, that's it for you, buddy. That's it. And Joseph was faithful to declare that message because it was the message from God. I want to spend just a moment on this one. 10:02. I got to watch my time, okay? Got to make this a very short rabbit trail. We live in a world that is drifting away from God and God's principles, okay? And I think as the more we drift that way, the harder it is for the child of God to live in it without conflict. Because much of where our society is going is against this. You know that to be true. I'm not going to name any of them. You know what they are. And so if we are to be like Joseph, we're going to be faithful to proclaim God's message, whether it's one that people want to hear or whether it's one that they don't. That's tough. Say, well, how can we do that? Well, if you read through the Pauline epistles, all those letters that Paul wrote, Paul had a way of bringing things out. He had a way of telling us how to be a witness to others in love. Paul was able to witness to others in a way that was encouraging. It was awfully important for Paul to do things in love. So that tells me if we're to be faithful to proclaim the message of God, whether it's good or bad, I need to do it in love. And that's what Joseph did. He showed concern. And we know that that's not always going to be an easy thing to do, because sometimes if we hold to the message that God has for us, it's not going to please some people. The book of Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know what? That just means that sometimes your friend's going to tell you something you don't want to hear. They're going to tell you something that hurts. And we need to be faithful. If we're going to be like Joseph and have the presence of God in our life and be well favored by God, we're going to be faithful to deliver his message whether people want to hear it or not. And then you know what else for the last thing? What I like about Joseph is he did all this, but then he left it in the Lord's hands. He just left it in the Lord's hands. You know, later, the butler, 2 years later, if we follow the timeline, the butler does bring it up that he didn't remember Joseph like he said he would, or like rather that Joseph asked him to. But the point is Joseph, once he did this, once he stated the facts in verse 15 to the butler and just asked that he would consider him, and evidently he didn't. For 2 years it didn't happen. Joseph just left it in the Lord's hands. He left the results up to God. Man, that's hard to do. It is so hard to do in our lifetime. You know, we've all raised kids, and we've all had convictions while we were raising kids, And sometimes you look at your kids or whatever you know you have spent your life doing, and the results don't exactly come out like you want them to 100% of the time, do they? No, they don't, for any of us. But if we're to be like Joseph, we're just going to leave the results up to God. Chapter 39, we saw the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. You know, I don't know. We were talking yesterday, Valerie and I were. I don't know if I've got 20 years left or 10 years left or 5 years left or a day. We don't know that kind of thing. But I tell you where I am in my Christian life right now. Whatever time that is, I want God's presence in my life. I want His power. His power has not always been in my life. I can assure you that. So I don't know, you know, any of us could walk out these doors and get hit by a car and it'd be over today, or we might live till we're the ripe old age of, you know, triple digits. We don't know. But I know that I want to have God's presence in my life, and I want to act in such a way. You know, we saw last week how the book of Genesis is all about people. God created this big, wide world, this creation, so He could put people in it, people who would love Him, people who would honor Him and respect Him. And I think He loves people, and I think He loves people that give Him honor and give Him glory and give Him the respect that He deserves. And Joseph was an individual, from as best we can tell in the Scriptures, God favored him because he trusted God. God favored him and gave him His presence because he believed God and he was obedient to God. And so you and I, as we go about our days, whether it's working or maybe you're retired or maybe it's as you're being tempted, we got to realize that God wants to be with us through all those times. One of my great encouraging verses in the subject of temptation is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful. And He won't suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That tells me God's with me in temptation. He's with me as I go from day to day. And just like Joseph, He's with me as I wait. I hate to wait. Sometimes we're not a very patient person, and we got to understand that we got to be like Joseph at times and just wait. Hey, listen, this is a phrase that I read this week. If the Lord controls us, it makes us little difference who commands us. You know, we have more and more leaders who want to command all of these aspects of our lives. Good or bad, that's not the issue. But if the Lord controls us, it shouldn't matter who commands us. Isn't that great? There's a trust there. And when you get home, I don't have time now, but when you get home, turn over to Psalm 105 and read 17 through 22, where the Bible talks about Joseph. And Joseph was a man who waited on the Lord. And as he waited on the Lord made him stronger, because the word iron is used, and iron is a heavy metal. It's always a symbol of control or strength, I should say. God had Joseph and all these little problems of life, and He would elevate him, and then Joseph would go back into a problem, and then He would elevate him. And it seems like God always had a way of turning the valley into the mountain in Joseph's life. I want to be that guy. And I know that God loves people, and I know that God responds and He appreciates when His people trust Him. And that sometimes is hard to do, but we do it by staying in His Word. We do it by being in this house, or in this case, as people watch the Facebook recordings and listen to the MP3 recordings on the internet when they can't be here. Because this is an important place, isn't it? This is where God's people come together to give him glory and come together to learn his word. And when we learn his word and when we give him glory and when we're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he starts controlling us. Then he brings us his presence. And then he gives us peace and calm and serenity. He helps us get through it. He encourages us in our roughest times when we trust him. I think that's what Joseph did. He had a way about him, and we're going to see so much more in future chapters. But man, we ought to have a desire to be like Joseph because God was with him. Okay, Brother Stacy, would you dismiss us in prayer?